Peter Drury, who is the play-by-play voice of the Premier League on Sportsnet. Peter will have the call of tomorrow's Manchester United-Chelsea match. And Peter, thanks for doing this. I think this is probably, if you're Louis van Gaal, this is probably the right time to be facing Chelsea, not just because of the way your team is playing, but because there will be no Diego Costa in the lineup as well.
Well, that certainly helps, Jeff. Yeah, there's no question about that. I think there is a certain vulnerability about Chelsea in his absence, and I'm talking at the margins. Of course, they're still a very, very good team. They also are aware, if they feel this sort of thing, that this is the last sort of point where it could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Chelsea, as you rightly say, should win this thing. It's that straightforward. They need 12 more points from 7 games. They ought to do it. The only way it can start to go wrong is if they lose their next couple of fixtures against Manchester United and then against Arsenal. Those are two losable games. Supposing they did lose them, wow, we'd suddenly have a race on again. Chelsea would still be favourites to win that race, but they wouldn't be absolute storm away certain favourites to win it. So United can see this as their last grasp at trying to heave Chelsea back. For Chelsea, in a sense, there's nothing to win. There's only a lot to lose.
And I think, too, the other thing that could happen here, Peter, if you're Manchester United, is but you could put down a bit of a marker for next season, couldn't you? Obviously, you could win this. You'd take another step up in Champions League to getting into the Champions League, which means a little extra money, obviously, for Manchester United. But you could also throw a marker down. And I think you could really it would almost cement Louis van Gaal's status with Manchester United fans, which I think Manchester United fans have slowly become comfortable with him. But if this can happen and you can kind of say to your fans, look, we finished strongly, we have Champions League football, we're going to have some money to spend, and oh yeah, by the way, remember what happened the last time we faced Chelsea? That makes a big difference for the psyche of the fan base going into next year.
I'm 100% certain you're right, Jeff. That is absolutely the case. And listen, they've won 6 in a row. If they now beat Chelsea as well and move up close to Chelsea, albeit briefly, perhaps even beyond Arsenal, and right into the real mix, they are indeed laying down a marker. And it's fascinating, perhaps because Chelsea are, frankly, likely to walk away and take this title this year, we're already finding ourselves engrossed in a conversation about next year.
Mm-hmm.
And Arsenal are in a run of form which smacks of lining themselves up for next year. And Manchester United are in a run of form that smacks of lining themselves up for next year. And Chelsea, of course, are likely to be defending champions. You know, next year is feeling very exciting 4 or 5 months out. And United, yeah. I mean, listen, I know that in your country, all the way around the world, people who follow English soccer, there are more people supporting Manchester United than there are anyone else. And equally, because of that, there are more people anti-Manchester United than anyone else. They're the ones who fire the debates more than any other club. The fact is, whichever side of that divide you're on, it's better when Manchester United are really part of the battle. Because Manchester United is a club whose grandeur and size and story and narrative relates to the whole of the English football watching world. And so when they're in the mix, we love it, for better or worse. Either we love them or we love to hate them. That's a matter of choice. But that Manchester United feel as though they're becoming big again, I think is good for everyone.
In conversation with Peter Drury, when did it kind of come together for Manchester United? Was there a match? Was there a tactical decision by Louis van Gaal that kind of brought this together?
Well, there are those who say he's got lucky, aren't there, Jeff? I mean,
mm-hmm.
when Di Maria got sent off in that cup tie against Arsenal and had to be replaced, and Mata came into the side, and suddenly Mata started playing. And by the way, what a game for him tomorrow, back at Chelsea, who mm-hmm. let him go. You know, he could be a key player. And Luke Shaw got injured at left-back. The England left full-back, good, young, strong, new player in the United side. And yet, he's been replaced by Daley Blint. Suddenly, Robin van Persie's out of the side, injured. So Wayne Rooney has to go up front rather than playing in midfield, a position for which Van Gaal was so widely criticised for fielding him there. So in a sense, things have happened by accident, you know. Rooney's had to go up top again. Blint has come in at left back. Mata was required to come back in and to start with filling in midfield and now playing really well in midfield. For me, beyond all those things, the most important player for Manchester United this last two or three months has been Michael Carrick, who just makes them tick over. He's got such a certainty about him, such a poise in possession of the ball. He so rarely gives it away. And his return to full form and fitness has absolutely coincided with Manchester United's return to form as well. So there you are, three or four key members of personnel who've made a big difference, either out of choice or, frankly, out of really good fortune.
What does Chelsea have to do to overcome Diego Costa's absence? I mean, the first thing the mind thinks of is Eden Hazard becomes even more and more significant. But that aside, what do they have to do in order to overcome that, the absence of Costa, who just, I mean, in addition to scoring goals, he's just such a handful. He's always doing something. He's always noticeable. He's always getting in people's faces. He's always getting in their way.
Absolutely. He's a brute, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
And obviously, you know, the things we say about him are the things that a few years back we used to say about Didier Drogba. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that Drogba, like all of us, gets older every day. And he's not quite as capable of being the brute that Costa now is. He's still capable of pulling it off on a one-off occasion. Drogba, I'm not sure whether Remy's going to be fit to play up front, but nobody has a replacement for Diego Costa. We've loved to call him over here a bit of a bar brawler. You know, you wouldn't want him any other way. He's rough around the edges. He's fast. He's strong. And players like that don't grow on trees. Chelsea don't have a player directly to replace him with. But what they do have, as you rightly imply with your example of Eden Hazard, is players around the edge who do things a different way. You know, there are several ways to swing a cat, as they say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Chelsea are just going to have to use the terrific resources, playing resources they do have, to find another way.
In conversation with Peter Drury on the Jeff Blair Show, we just have you for a couple more minutes, Peter. I wanted to ask you, Jurgen Klopp has announced that he is leaving Borussia Dortmund. He's been linked with Man City. Man City saying they're not, kind of indicating they're not interested. There's the whole thing with Arsenal out there. Do you think he ends up in the Premiership next year, or do you think that he might end up doing something? He might end up almost pulling a Pep Guardiola and going someplace and spending the next 3 years hearing his name linked with whatever opening comes up in the Premiership.
Well, of course, Jeff, I have to start my answer by saying that, along with millions and millions of others, I'm guessing.
Sure.
All I do know is that his first public expression was one that indicated he needed a break. You know, he's been a wonderful coach for Borussia Dortmund. He is a high-energy, high-intensity sort of individual. And I get the impression that his tank is running low.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope, in a way, for his sake, that he is able to resist the offers which inevitably will come his way, because he will get some sparkling offers. There's no question about that, because he's a wonderfully charismatic individual, and his record says he's a terrific coach as well. So people will no doubt pick for him. Maybe Manchester City will. You know, we're all assuming Pellegrini's on his way, and that kind of makes sense. So why wouldn't Manchester City look at him and think, my goodness me, he's available, let's go and get him. I hope Klopp has enough faith in himself, his own ability, over a longer term, to resist the sparkling offers which will come his way this summer, in the knowledge that similar ones will be just around the corner next summer.
Mm-hmm.
No question Guardiola, after doing great things with Barcelona, was able to do the same sort of things with Bayern Munich only because he bought himself a year. Listen, these guys don't need the money. They don't need to be going into work every day of every week like we do. You know, they mm-hmm. can pick and choose a bit right at the very top. So whilst it's not unfathomable to believe that come August, Jurgen Klopp will be in charge of Manchester City or some similar club somewhere, probably in Europe, though not certainly, you know, I think it would be good for him to freshen up. and come back and do it all again in August of, 2016.
I am sure that there would be some broadcaster in Germany that would love to have him for a year, don't you think?
I should think they would. What a wonderful television pundit he would be, because he's straight talking, he smiles at the camera, he gives it a wink, he's got terrific character. The viewers would absolutely drink him in. And I must say, he's an English speaker too.
Yes.
If somebody in the UK said, come and be our top voice on the Champions League, he'd be worth millions to a broadcaster. That's not a bad shout. Either that, or he goes and lies on a nice beach in Barbados for 6 months.
That wouldn't be bad either. Peter, thanks a lot for doing this. Cheers.
Good to speak to you, Jeff. Take care.